don't know if you've noticed, but October is kind of a month of masks. You can't really walk past a storefront that doesn't have at least a couple. Every child seems to be running around wearing a different kind of costume, and a couple of adults who like to pretend they're children. I know I'm going to be Superman. And we have our own holiday of masks. Purim comes in about 6 months. We'll have a wonderful party. It's a great time. And the rabbis like to connect Purim to a holiday we just celebrated, to Yom Kippur. It's a game of names, of words. Yom Kippur is often called Yom Kippurim, which if you break it up comes Yom Day, Ke, that is like Purim. And they had to love the fact that there is no two more opposite days on the Jewish calendar than Purim and Yom Kippur. My favorite comment about this connection comes from Rabbi Jack Reamer, who says, on Purim, we put the masks on, and on Yom Kippur, we take the masks off. Our parsha this week, Lech Lecha, is about a long journey that Abraham and Sarah go on. And along this journey, three times, we see a mask go on and a mask come off. The first is with a pretty troubling story. It's hard to hear about our patriarch Abraham. But I'd like to believe, at least give the benefit of the doubt, that this really was the only way for him to survive. You see, what happened was there was famine in the land of Canaan, and they had to leave and go to the only place that had food. They had to go to Egypt. And they gather up all of their food and all of their stuff and all of their people, and they march down to Egypt. And as they get close to the border, there are customs agents, basically. That's how it worked back then, too. And Abraham looks at Sarah and says, Sarah, you got to do me a favor. You are more beautiful than anyone I've ever seen. But what's more, you're more beautiful than anyone they've seen. If they think you're my wife, they'll kill me so they can be with you. Please pretend to be my sister. We don't get a response, but it seems that Sarah goes along with the charade, pretends to be his sister. They make it all the way to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, who is this beautiful woman? Is she taken? And Abraham says, no, she's my sister. And because of that, Abraham actually gets quite a lot of wealth. Cows and cattle and, you know, ancient wealth. And then Pharaoh and Sarah start to spend some alone time together. And then Egypt starts to see plague and famine, unexplainable, terrible things start to happen in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh looks around and realizes the only thing that's changed is now he's been spending time with Sarah. So he says, Sarah, what's going on? And Sarah sighs and says, well, the truth is, I'm not Abraham's sister, I'm his wife. And Pharaoh is furious. How could you do this to me? You're the reason there's been plague and famine. You and Abraham, take your stuff, take your wealth, and get out of Egypt. And they go. But it's only when Sarah's mask comes off, when she takes off the mask of sisterhood and puts on and reveals herself as Abraham's wife, only then can the story go on. Only then, after admitting what probably was a pretty big mistake, can Abraham and Sarah return to the land of Israel. When they get there, Sarah's troubles are not over. Abraham's been promised by God that his descendants will be a great and numerous nation. Abraham's descendants are going to be more numerous than droplets of water in the sea, more numerous than stars in the sky. They'll be as the dust of the earth. Sarah's not a young woman. And there are no kids. Not a one. So Sarah puts on a different mask, a mask of courage. She says, it's going to be okay, Abraham. I'm okay with it. You take Hagar, my servant. You be with her, have a child, and we'll raise that child as our own. It will be all right. And as we know, Hagar gives birth to Ishmael, and it's not all right. Sarah's not okay. And it goes on, and then Isaac comes along, and it's really not okay. Sarah takes off her mask and says, Abraham, I can't do it. They can't be with us. It's too much. I can't bear it. She admits her weakness and does something that sounds terrible to us and maybe, in fact, is terrible. But if she didn't, the story couldn't go on. Isaac couldn't become our forefather. The Torah couldn't continue. So then we get to Hagar. Hagar puts on a mask of strength. Abraham gives Hagar and Ishmael a day's food and water, and Hagar picks up her son and strongly, confidently strides into the wilderness. It's going to be okay, she says. I am strong, I can do it. And as she wanders into the wilderness, and the food runs out, and the water runs out, she does something that none of us can imagine doing. She puts her son down underneath a tree and says, I can't watch you die. And she turns around and cries. The mask comes off. She admits just how broken she is. And only at that moment does an angel of God appear to Hagar and say, stop your crying. It's going to be okay. Your son too will be a great nation. Raise your eyes and look. Here is food and water. Only when Hagar took her mask off. Three stories. Three masks that go on for good reasons, for reasons of strength, for reasons of fear, for reasons of courage. Three times when the masks come off and our ancestors admit wrongdoing, weakness, and brokenness, only then can the story continue. Only then can they grow. Only then can an angel of the Lord appear. So this Shabbat, I wish each of us a chance to recognize the masks we wear. And to look for a chance to look ourselves in the mirror. Take off these masks and admit that we do wrong. That we are weak, that oftentimes we are broken. Because when we admit this to ourselves, that's when there's a chance for our story to continue. That's when we have the chance to grow past those things. That's when we have room to let God into our lives. This Shabbat, I wish each of us the strength to take our masks off. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.